Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
We want excellence. We want what everybody wants, which is our standard every year is to make the NCAA tournament and win when we get here.
Tim Miles today, getting ready for Michigan State and Nebraska tomorrow. And why not comment on job security? That's always great to think and focus on. Prior to the stretch run of the season finale, welcome to Wednesday on Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Okay, I will get my head out of the sand. It's been hovering around. You've been thinking about it as a Nebraska basketball fan. I don't know where you're at, which way you're teetering. And I guess I'm supposed to ask you after each win or heartbreaking loss whether or not you're going bathwater and baby. So a busy show today in about 15 minutes. Head coach at Oregon State, Huskers and Beavers get rocking tomorrow in Surprise, Arizona. So we'll talk some Husker baseball at Oregon State matchup with head Beaver Pat Casey. Going to join us in 15 minutes. It is Wilderness Ridge Golf today. And I tried to get us out there today. I didn't really. I should have. It is phenomenal outside in Lincoln. And hopefully wherever you're listening to us across the state of Nebraska, you're enjoying tremendous weather. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf in about 35 minutes. And then just an awesome chance to talk recruiting staff and how a program like Alabama has done it. Well, it's no secret. They get amazing talent. They have top-notch coaches, as I can't talk today. Top-notch coaches, and that combination has been incredible. But there's much more beneath the surface that goes into it. A longtime member of the Alabama staff and friend of the show, Justin Pierce, going to be with us in hour two for a couple of segments. He's lived it. He's worked for Nick Saban. He's been on staff. He's been part of the Alabama recruiting machine. And as Nebraska discusses enhancing their recruiting portion of the football program based on Coach Riley's sit down with the Portland Tribune, let's get it from the horse's mouth, the guy who worked for Saban. How do they do it? Why do they do it? How come they're so, for the most part, can't miss with it, winning championship after championship or winning the SEC year after year? And they didn't win it this year, but they were 40 seconds away from another championship for Nick Saban. So Justin Pierce is going to be in studio with us. In front of me is a binder I've had a chance the last 24 hours to look through, and it's the Alabama Recruiting Bible. TJ, you have seen this. Dear friend Greg Smith has seen this. And man, it is... Listen, I'm not going to.
No wonder they're number one and get the best players every year.
I'm not going to beat you over the head with boring recruiting talk. This will be insightful. This will be entertaining. And this will be from a guy who's spent time with Nick Saban, with Kevin Steele. And excited to have Justin Pierce in studio in 1 hour. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Let's talk about Lee Barfnik, Omaha World Herald. His article, Lee, a good dude and extremely talented writer, gave his thought in form of column that maybe you've read. If you haven't, you should. But Coach Miles commented on his job and the speculation out there of whether or not he will be back.
Start out with just some comments. Over the last weeks, I think there's been plenty of questions about, my longevity at Nebraska. One, I want to be, forceful that I want to be the coach here. I believe Sean wants me to be the coach here. I believe Mark does.
Okay, so Tim wants to be here. He thinks I-Course wants him here, and he thinks Mark Boehm wants him here. So when asked about Tim's longevity in the column, Sean I-Course, was asked by Lee if he wanted the topic off the table, saying that Miles would be back for year six. I-Corps declined. I-Corps policy, unless you lose to Purdue, is to not comment in season on a coach.
Yeah, then it's okay.
Well, he needed some. There were lots of fires that
there
week.
Were.
Okay. And it spawned auto in over Sparty. Maybe this is, hey, maybe in a different
yeah,
sport, deja
there we
vu,
go.
Right?
Right.
Listen, I have thoughts on Tim Miles. And really, I got to ask myself this when it comes to decisions and comments and responsibility about whether or not it's time to call for a head coach's job. Easy take is, well, fire them all. Let's move on. No, it's been that way here for years. You've had firings in baseball and football, multiple times in football and in basketball. Has it gotten better? Have you gotten over the hump since you've moved on? The aim is to move the program forward when you make a decision like this, and you don't make the decision lightly, or you shouldn't. It shouldn't be based on ego, wanting my own guy, my own splash, my own stamp as an AD. It should be long-term best for the program if you believe that in your heart. I know that's too idealistic for some, but that's how, if I'm wearing an AD hat, I look at things. It's not about my personal legacy or all the great I did. It's let history judge that by keeping or hiring a spot as a head coach. What am I doing to help the program? And what am I doing to make the fans happy? Because ultimately, your job is to raise money and cater to the folks that donate and get their butts in seats for you to cheer on Nebraska. So let's look at Tim Miles. Let's look at his record. Let's look at what he's done and ask yourself this important question. Do you feel like there's positive momentum with basketball right now? Do you feel that there's positive momentum for Nebraska basketball? And if you say no, great. Tell me why. If you say yes, tell me why. I feel like there's positive momentum right now with Nebraska basketball because of what's on the roster. I feel like there's positive momentum right now with Nebraska basketball because who they've beat, either full strength or undermanned. I can't explain to you the Gardner Webbs of the world. I can't explain to you some of the head-scratching losses that keep you up at night and keep Jack Daniels in your liquor cabinet.
Yeah, Incarnate Word, Samford.
I can't. I can't explain to you how they pull off and bludgeon Rocky Balboa-style Purdue a month ago.
Yeah, when
without
Purdue hits 14 threes.
Without
yeah.
Ed. Mm-hmm. Okay? What I see on this roster is a lot of talent. In Glenn Watson, I see a lot of talent and leadership in Ed Morrow. I see just a phenomenal young basketball player in Roby. I see a guy who's got guts and shooting ability in McVay. I see a dude that is getting better before our eyes, and that's hard to do as a big, as young and raw as Jordy is. I see all this potential. That potential needs to be realized. And they have gotten better as the year has gone on. They have won some games. They've had some near misses. They've had heartbreak. They could finish out 500 or better despite this schedule and despite this injury-racked season. That's remarkable. I know the Big Ten is down. But I'm taking the Big Ten being down in association with this non-conference schedule he put together. And you win some, you lose some. Ty Webster's had a really good senior season. He has gotten better since day one stepping on campus. I think long-term, why do I think Miles gets a sixth year and beyond? I think they'll get to the tournament next year. Based on the personnel they have, based on the growth I've seen this year, and applying it rationally with what they should be better at next year, already having a year and experience and defined roles under their belt. That is why I say this conversation is making me smack my head against the wall. Because I don't think it should be a discussion. I think he gets a year six based on how this team's responded and performed. in a lot of adversity. The question you can ask if you are against Miles and don't want him back is, well, look, yeah, he's gone to an NCAA tournament, but he hasn't followed it up. And quite frankly, what he's followed up with has been under 500 performances with talent. And I'll say this. As nice as Pettaway and Walt have been, as nice as Siobhan was, they didn't get along. Okay, they got tight for about a two-week stretch, got hot, they were good, they got you to the tournament, it was great. Beyond that, too many agendas. Part of your job as head coach is to control the locker room. There's better control and understanding and chemistry now than years ago. I think you learn as a head coach at a program the size of Nebraska where you're forced to recruit high-end Power 5 dudes to these facilities. And he set the bar really high in year two. Year three and year four, he didn't deliver. He had some guys that wanted to do their own thing or didn't get along with other teammates. And you need to make a decision to stop recruiting the guys that have baggage. You're still taking transfers from high-profile programs, but are they guys that are going to disrupt the locker room? Time will tell. One left you for Syracuse, okay? But the core group of guys that are leading this team this year, next year, beyond, have all been guys you recruited as four-year guys, not transfers. And your core and your foundation right now is Watson, is Jacobson, is Morrow, and is McVay. And they kind of get it. They're pretty much bonded together. And I think you absolutely give Tim a sixth year on top of what's coming in. And I think he's been a better personality juggler. And I think he's also been better at working with the guys as a coach and communicating with them versus maybe blasting them a bit too much. I think he's learned and gotten better as a coach. Record needs to be better. I get that. But I don't think they're far off, and you don't hit nuclear explosion right now when you're close like this.
Okay, so I'm glad...
Making too much sense today.
Yeah. So I'm glad Lee wrote that article, because I remember we had the discussion, is it a week or two ago now, that the Wisconsin one-point loss, a lot of chatter about Miles' job, and I was like, that's a conversation you have if you lose by 25 to 30, not by one to overtime, the top 15 team in the nation. Okay, so think about this. All you're going to lose... All. Ty Webster's pretty amazing. The guy's great.
And important.
But after that, you're going to just lose Malcolm Laws, Nick Fuller, Evan Taylor, and, oh man, Anton Gill as your four seniors in 2 years. So in my mind.
This year and next.
Yep, this year and next. So in my mind, it's already been a foregone conclusion that Miles should get a sixth year and maybe even a seventh year. Like the next 2 years, I think, are the most talented teams. I mean, Lee wrote about it since the Vincent Hamilton Ty Lue
days. You trust him to deliver with his talent is your question, because he's done it once before, but he's fallen short a couple of times with returning talent.
Yeah.
So that's really a question you got to ask yourself. And I think, you know, second time on the merry-go-round with this talent, I think you got to absolutely look at it and say, give him the benefit of the doubt. Pharmacist Jeff texts in, can text Hale, H-A-I-L, to 88474. It's been next year for 6 years. Yeah, I know. It's always next year. Listen, I don't have a response to that. I know. You've been waiting patiently for a long time. I know. Next year has been the last 6 years. Thank you. Clay is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. I read that correctly, right? DJ, we got to work on like hand signals. Clay, go ahead. How are you?
Well, I have high positivity for the Huskers because, in the words of the great Bobby Bowden, first you lose big, it sucks. Then you win, then you lose small, then you win small, and then you win big. Hmm. And right now they're on the track to do that.
I think they're trending the right way, and that M word, that momentum. Clay, thanks for the call. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Are you asking yourself the momentum question? Do you feel like there's good momentum in this program? And I think if you make a change, you stall that.
And look.
It's the O'Doyle rules scenario where they drive off the cliff. Just swerve out of the banana way.
Collier and Sadler both got 6 years, and I'm not saying because those guys at least got at least 6 years, Miles should, but Miles got them to determine. Doc Sadler's best team, his final year, fifth-year seniors in Tony McCray, Brandon Richardson, had scores in Bo Spencer and Dylan Talley. Ray Gallegos came alive from three, Ubel, big men in Diaz and Almeida. Like, that team was his most talented team, and that team should have made the tournament, and they didn't, and I think it was fine time to part away with Doc, as much as he was a very likable guy.
He had no momentum, and you had a new arena being built. Mm-hmm. And you needed to make a change then if you were going to make one, period. It's real simple. You ride this out. You extend him a year to make it the 5-year window. And if things aren't better, markedly better, where you're in the tournament, then... Then you make a decision. You're going to pay out if you make a move. You just are. You can't let him twist in the wind. And it feels like that a little bit by a non-voice of support right now by your athletic director. It is his policy. More from Tim Miles when we come back. We'll try and rearrange Pat Casey to next hour. And more of your thoughts. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you here. But do you feel like there's positive momentum in the Nebraska basketball program where year six is necessary for Coach Miles? I say yes. Talent and direction. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. An in-depth look at the recruiting machine of Alabama. Their recruiting staff in less than an hour. Former Bama staff member Justin Pierce in studio with us in 35 minutes. We're talking Tim Miles, his future, Lee Barfnik's column, must read. Lee is tremendous at what he does, and we'll spend some more time on it. A line open for you at 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Year six, yes or no on Coach Miles. I think you're crazy if you say move on from him based on what you got in the cupboard and the momentum you have. Matthew's been on hold. Matthew, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I say give him a 6-year because of exactly what you said. The recruits he got coming in and in the way they're playing right now. They played Wisconsin down to the wire. They could have won that game. They played basically everybody from, you know, the out-of-conference games pretty tough. Mm-hmm. So why not give him a 6-year to see what he can do with way better talent than he has right now? So that's my take on it.
Hey, appreciate the call, Matthew. Thanks for hanging on. Yeah, ask yourself this. When's the last time you've had talent at this level ranking and also seen it kind of translate on court at this level? Mm-hmm. Talking top 150 guys, 9 of them.
Oh, yeah.
Dare I say a McDonald's All-American might be on their way here.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's about 270 other nominees.
I don't care.
But, no, I agree with you. Look, man, a lot of talent. But I'm going to play devil's advocate, even though I want Miles for another 2 years, if not just one. The 4 out of 5, if this continues, if this season continues, 4 out of 5 losing seasons. And a lot of times, it's, you watch the games, the out-of-balance plays underneath the hoop. I probably could count the times, number of times on my hands that we've scored out of that. It's just get the ball in. Like, and I see so many other teams score. So that's just one thing that just kind of came to mind. Like, you know, a little bit of a bugaboo, but I mean, you can't deny the talent he's brought in. It's just these top recruits you have, they're top 150, but they're kind of the low end, the top 50. And to me, those guys are going to pay off their junior and senior years.
Yeah, a little long. You also, I mean, that's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid you get a top 10 guy, so he's one and done, and then you got to reload.
Yeah.
I think there was some obvious urgency where you've set the bar really high after year two. Because now the
victim of your own success.
The expectation is get to the tournament, but that is his expectation. It's what he wants. He wants the same thing you want. And with Coach Miles, he's kicked butt, taking names in the recruiting world. And they're playing well. And it's evolved at a high level. Now, got to ask yourself, this was brought up in Lee's column, is do you have all the tools to win if you're Tim Miles? Okay. And I don't know the ins and outs of what Duke has versus Nebraska. I do know that Nebraska has PBA. I know Nebraska has an amazing practice facility.
The Hendrix, yeah.
I know from the minute that thing was built, it's paid off because Tim knew he wasn't going to get Okafor. All right? But guess what? He's got some dudes that know Okafor that are here now from the state of Illinois. So he is over-delivered in a sport. It's been impossible to deliver since the Danny Nee and Strickland and Boone and Badgett and Piekowski era when it comes to top-end talent that translates to Power 5 basketball. He's over-delivered in recruiting. You just needed it to mesh chemistry-wise, and I think you have a little bit of that this year. And part of that was addition by subtraction. And you've had some – that's the key moving forward. You're going to get players here, I believe. And you're going to be in games with Wisconsin and Purdue and Maryland. And you've shown that this year. Really, quite honestly, a year ahead of schedule. You lose Andrew White, and you're asking some of these young guys to step up. And other programs are young, too. I get that. But you're hovering right there. Here is Tim Miles from today's press conference, specifically on some of the goals and direction.
I know some fans are a little bit unhappy with my management of the results. I can find a lot of different reasons to tell you that we're on the right track, but I can't prove it with a winning record. You know, we're one win right now from 500. I don't want to be 500. I don't think anyone wants to be 500. We want excellence.
So, look, he isn't going to debate you on his record. But you also got to look at what's in front of you eye test-wise. And can it translate and be enhanced and get better? And if you're just anti-Miles, listen, the 500 record and the number of under 500 years, that's stacked up. Do you think he's been given enough to win with? And I say on its face, yet the facility... And you have PBA. I think that's a giant, a monster investment in Nebraska basketball compared to the previous three coaches.
But it wasn't an alarming reading this Lee article, how Howard Hawks had to step in and say, hey, this Hendricks stuff needs more amenities. Like, it needs more things to be livened up, you know? Like, I couldn't believe they had to say that.
You know, I don't know Mr. I don't know Mr. Hawks. And I don't I need to that's whose money you're taking. Okay? So he sure as hell has input.
But this is like going back to that Wisconsin game afterwards, and when I went big picture with Bill Dolman and Andy Markowski, like, is the university just apathetic towards the basketball team?
No,
they may not
hell
care
no.
as much. But lately you would say no. But before, like with Collier and Sadler, maybe they were.
I think you had some real issues with ego. Okay,
like under Doc, weren't they still practicing in like what was that Henslick Hall or that awful like that gym that barely fits like 20
Listen,
people?
You have
Mabel Lee. Is that what it like?
Maybe. Here's the point of that. Okay, you're talking about a dark time in the Peterson era.
Yeah.
Okay, where football wasn't going right. And I think Byrne made the Collier hire. Okay, Bill made that hire. He made that hire, and Danny wore out his welcome to some, and goodbye. But then you had Petey roll in, and it's time to, you know, Barry went to the AD route, and Peterson wanted to bring his own dude like he did at Pitt Basketball with Howland. So there was some motives there. And things needed to be livened up. You had a boring style of basketball. You weren't winning. You weren't finishing, and you were a far cry from the knee era. I mean, you've been in the desert, the basketball desert, for a long time. And Tim finally brought you some water with a tournament run, and then from a recruiting bump. So, I think the investment's been there for him. He's had something that no one else has had. He's capitalized that on some of the recruits. Kind of comes down to roster management, who you bringing in, how's the locker room. And I'll say this, man. He's got Molinari. He's got Michael Lewis. He's got Kenya Hunter. Okay? and those three dudes right now, and then Ollie, that core group's real nice. You've had turnover at the assistant spot with Harriman and the dude from Weber State, Lillard, the guy who recruited Lillard there. So you've kind of been searching for that right mix since the Craig Smith days. And finally, well, Craig isn't replaceable. You at least have a core group now that's bringing in talent like Craig did, and you have a semblance of an offense. Is it always pretty and perfect? No. But you kind of know what you're doing. And the thing that you got to ask yourself as a fan that you demand is just be in big games. They've been in big games. They've won big games. Mm-hmm. And they kind of tend to surprise you. Positively recently, and unfortunately for Nebraska basketball fans, negatively at some points too. So right now, the scales are kind of balanced right now with the highs and lows. And this isn't a knee-jerk decision that needs to happen. I think there's a body of work. I think something needs to be said, even though it's not policy. Because the other side of this thing is you have a chance to close here and position yourself for an NIT, which is not what you want a year from now to be talking about. But at least you're in contention here. If you put together a final strong four-game stretch and then head to D.C., despite the injuries, despite the schedule, despite the youth, it's there. And just to go, you know what? I'm going to hit the red nuclear button on this thing. Why? Can you promise me this?
Scratch.
So there's two sides of this momentum discussion here before I shut up. There is a possibility to go get – there's always somebody better out there. There sure as hell is always somebody worse out there. Can you guarantee you're going to find somebody better?
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you find someone worse. And Tim's a program builder, and once he kind of got lightning in the bottle with the transfers, again, I can't stress enough that he has found the right chemistry. And that's what kept Nebraska from having more than just one NCAA tournament appearance.
Mm-hmm. And you brought up the NIT. What if they do finish?
Did they pull off the NIT this year?
What if they finish well and get to that, and they are able to get to Madison Square Garden to be part of the Final Four in the NIT the same year as they raise the rafters of Tyronn Lue, the guy who led them to the NIT championship? I mean, that'd be a nice story.
I think T. Lue brags about the time they went to the NCAA tournament.
More than the NIT title?
I would hope. More from Tim Miles and vision and philosophy from Coach Miles as Nebraska looks to keep the streak going.
I schedule for excellence. I don't schedule for the NIT. I don't schedule for wins. We want excellence. We want what everybody wants, which is our standard every year is to make the NCAA tournament and win when we get here. I want that to be my legacy. I want that to be the legacy of our players, and I want our players to buy into that legacy. And I think everybody's on the same page with that.
Just ask yourself, if you make a change, are you going to be that much closer to an NCAA tournament berth? Short of, I mean, I know Hoiberg's a popular name. He's still employed for Chicago. John Wooden is no longer with us. Okay? Dana likes Nike. Okay? And Oregon. All right? This is who you got. He's busting his ass to bring in recruits. And they are, dare I say, they're on the verge of over-delivering. Despite not being an NCAA tournament team, all the hell they've been through this year, they are so close to finishing it off right. Now, just get rid of those potholes of Gardner-Webb. Agreed. We all agree on that. But keep the surprises coming where you're fighting the turtle and winning on the road.
And you heard in that audio clip, and you've heard from guys like McVay and Jacobson, they want to leave a legacy here, and part of that legacy is being the first ever team to win an NCAA tournament game. I mean, think how beloved that team would be. They want that.
It was nuts at Barry's after Nebraska came back and won the Big 8 tournament. Danny was working the room. We continue on a Wednesday.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN.
or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
20 minutes away, we'll talk football recruiting and recruiting support staff. Member Nick Saban's recruiting juggernaut at Bama. Justin Pierce with us in 20 minutes. Right now, Shuey's doing some push-ups with this Alabama recruiting Bible on his back. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment with us. Shuey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Can I be you this week?
Man, how nice is it outside?
I don't know. I've been doing radio.
You can look out the window, though.
Nice. Yeah, they opened the window for me. I can peek out. I feel like Andy Dufresne right now. Ooh, look, there's sunshine. Wilderness Ridge Golf, no time like right now to get out there, see Shuey, see Chris Thompson. Invest in fun. What do you mean by that? I'm talking about the deck. You can go have a cold one after your exciting golf round. I'm talking about finding out about membership benefits, membership pricing, 27 holes of amazing golf, phenomenal facilities, and if it does turn naughty again weather-wise, indoor heating bays where you can hit and get better. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. Shuey, how many lessons did you give this week?
I just got back last night. We had our first tournament.
Well, right, you were playing. Okay, so.
So we were down in Florida, and we got back late last night, and then we got a quick turnaround. We're here today and tomorrow, and then we leave Friday morning to go to Arizona for our second tournament. So
breaking my heart.
Yeah, and so somebody's got to do it, right?
No, I know. Well, okay, so awful question. How many lessons do you have this week? No comment. But okay, so tell me about the tournament down in Florida.
It was Florida. The weather was nice. We didn't play very well, but it was our first tournament, you know, and it was probably, we played on the golf course probably as hard as we'll play all year. I mean, they set it up really tough, and so we got a little work ahead of us. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, no, that's all good, and it's still early. So, Shuey, what do you want to get into here? Should we hit the obvious, Tiger Woods and back and withdrawing and pressers? And I know we talk Tiger a lot, but people love Tiger mystique, man.
Tiger's Tiger. I read something, but they did an interview with Butch, you know, and they were talking a little bit about Tiger. And, you know, he basically said he'd love to see him come back, but he highly doubts that he'll be able to, you know, just because you have that many injuries, back injuries, knee injuries, that many surgeries that he's had on all of those things. Man, it takes a toll on you. And then just to play at the level that his mind is accustomed to, but your body actually is not able to, that's tough, you know. I mean, it's no different in all athletes, man. There comes a point in time when it's like, when do you really have to say enough is enough, you know, because it's like you can't run or jump nearly like you used to, you know, and your experience can only take you so far.
So got to go do it.
And these guys, I mean, if you look at this year especially, I mean, it is the youngsters are taking over. I mean, they set a record this year for the number, 23 and under crowd that have won. I think they won the first seven tournaments of the year, you know. So it's like, I mean, the next generation is coming, man, and they're good.
Talk to me about that next generation. You coach them every day, and you see them out on the tour, and I need to know what's a couple attributes that make you smile about them. I mean, when you look at some things the next 18 to 25-year-old crop has, and then kind of compare it to looking back to when you were that age making your way.
Oh, just the athlete, period. I mean,
today, bigger, stronger, faster?
Yeah. Today's generation of athlete is just amazing that's playing the game of golf. I know, I think it was Dustin Johnson's trainer was talking. He said he's probably one of the best athletes, just pure athletes that he's ever worked with. You know, he just happens to be a golfer. You don't hear that very often, you know. So you just got a much, much better athlete that's playing the game, you know, because golf is cool. I mean, golf, that's one another Tiger thing. I mean, Tiger kind of made golf cool, you know, and he brought a physical element to it. I mean, he looked the part. I mean, he looked like an athlete. You know, you go back years ago, man, a golfer's, nobody thought it was
kind
a sport,
of a Craig
first
Stadler
of all.
Type guy after my own heart.
Yeah. So it's an athlete, man, and guys are into it, you know, and they train that way. They train themselves physically, mentally, and you just the technology that's out there that can train these guys. You get a really good athlete that has the skills physically. I mean, it's a tough game because there's a lot of attributes that you have to be very successful at it. I mean, you can be incredibly gifted skill-wise, technique-wise, but if you don't have a mind to go along with it, you really don't have anything. I mean, you look pretty doing it, you know, mm-hmm. and you can do some incredible stuff, but you know, you still don't know how to score. So, I mean, you got to have the whole package, and there's so many guys coming along now that just have the whole package. Man, they're physically gifted, technically sound in what they do. They're mentally strong in what they do. I mean, they're just fearless. I mean, the young kids that come up now are much more trained in the competition that they play in and what they do.
Starting at an earlier age, more cutthroat type tournaments.
They're not afraid. I mean, they're just not afraid to win. They're not afraid to go low. They're not afraid to shoot the numbers they need to shoot when they get on the golf course. I mean, they're fearless, but they're smart about it. They're not reckless.
Okay.
So, again, they're
this is more. Is it fair to say there's a higher level of composure?
No question.
Yeah.
You know, it's just commitment to what it is and focus on what it is they have to do. And they're trained to be able to do that. And they commit to it and they stick with it, you know. And that's one of the hard things to do. It's like you can look good in practice and then you got to go out and kind of play. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't mean anything, you're still playing and you don't look quite as good. And then all of a sudden you add the competition element to it. And it's like each step gets a little harder and a little harder and a little harder. And it's like how do we get comfortable in that environment? I talk about that a lot with my team,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like we got to really work on trying to feel and get yourself comfortable when you're out there because, you know, the harder the situation, the more uncomfortable you are. The more uncomfortable you are, the harder it gets. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder and harder and harder. So it's like how do we go about getting comfortable when we're out there? And I said it's easy in a sense because every shot you've hit, no matter what it is, you've hit that shot one time in your life, you know, especially these players because they played a lot of golf and they're highly skilled players. So they've hit every shot they'll ever be faced with. And it's like, and you probably hit that shot well at one time. So it's like, that's how you get as comfortable as you can. It's like, yeah, I've hit this shot really well. You know, this is how I do it. And then they're very committed to doing it. So a friend of mine, Matt Gogel, he was a recall guy.
Okay.
Every single shot he ever performed when he was going to play, him and his caddy would talk it out, and they would recall a shot that they had hit previously somewhere in his years of playing golf. You know, I just remember playing at Pebble Beach with him, and he was on the 13th hole. I think it's a par 3, and he looked at his caddy and said, yeah, this is that 200-and-some-yard 3-iron. This is just like that 3-iron we hit at the tournament at Kemper last year.
Wow.
You know, so he's recalling a shot that he hit that was basically the same shot he has, and he's recalling a positive of what it is that he did because he hit a good shot. Obviously, it's probably not good to recall something
right.
that wasn't
Remember
so
that
good.
Remember that time, Schmidt, you're off the box yeah, on sure. 3 and you hit it in the water again? You don't do that
you
one.
Probably don't want to recall that
no,
one.
No, that's too easy to do.
Right.
Now, the trouble's finding that positive recall for some of us. Mike Shewhart is with us. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, amazing weather.
Oh.
In this fantastic state of Nebraska, the good life. We'll spend a few more minutes with Shuey inside the Alabama machine in 15 minutes. Justin Pierce will join us when it comes to recruiting staffs and stacking talent. Hail Varsity continues.
Can you hear it?
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
10 minutes away inside the Bama recruiting machine with a member of Nick Saban's staff. A few years back, Justin Pierce in studio. He'll be with us. It is the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Mike Shewhart. I think what's going to happen is Justin and Shuey will take over hour two. I'm going to go lose golf balls off number two.
Attaboy.
In the 9-hole course at Wilderness.
Well, you might make a one. You never know, right?
Well, I won't make a one, but I can feel great about green in the par threes. The only time in the world we go to that happy place, like you were just talking
oh, yeah.
about, to recreate a really good shot that you've hit once in your life in important moments during tournament time. And yeah, every time I step up to the tee box at Wilderness and it's one of your par threes, I don't have the gal from Modern Family you know, bringing out pitchers of beer like Happy did. I don't have that happy place quite, but I do go back to a spot. Remember when I hit my 8-iron well off the tee box and it was within 3 feet and I could still 2-putt and par? I know. We got to get to the birdie part.
I bet you play that hole pretty good every time you play it too, right? For the most part.
If I screw up, I pull the mulligan out.
Oh, yeah. That's always allowed.
Right, depending on who you're with. Shuey, talk to me about this. The end of this week, you guys are heading off to Arizona.
Yep. Wisconsin hosts a tournament down there at a place called Westbrook, so it'll be another good field. A little easier golf course, and we've played it quite a few times. So.
Okay.
We should do all right. You know, we're young. I mean, we got a lot of learning to do. So,
yeah.
But we got a lot of talent. I mean, we had a girl on our team that actually she shot 71 the first round.
That's awesome.
This last week, she was right there in the top five. So, I mean, she's got a lot of talent. So, and I think she led the week in birdies. So she makes a lot of birdies. So, and she's only a freshman.
Nah,
that's
nice.
A good thing. So she got a lot of upside. All of them do. You know, so it's like. Next week is a whole new week, and that's the beautiful thing about golf, man. It's like you always got the next hole, and you always got the next day, and you always got the next tournament to go out there, and it's like...
And you're out golfing.
Exactly. I mean, in Arizona, how can you beat it?
No, Huskers are... you're headed down to Arizona, Nebraska and Oregon State tomorrow.
Yeah, they're down there, too. I think we're going to actually, when we get there on Friday, I think we're going to try to get over to the game.
Okay.
So they're pretty close to where we're at.
Okay.
So.
Good.
I think they play that night, so I think we're going to try to get over
there. I'll send
there.
My pops your way. He could work on...
Is he down there? Is he going to
down
go?
There 10 months out of the year.
He's,
you know,
he's
literally like
out.
5 minutes from the Royal Spring Training.
He's got it definitely figured out.
Ben invited me to go play golf down
oh, no.
there, but it's keeping everyone else safe. But, well, good enough, man. Best of luck to you and your team.
Thanks.
Later in the week. And you getting that itch? You getting geared up here with the Masters here just around the corner?
I know, man. That is when... That is a sign that golf season is here. Every year, it's like when the Masters comes on, the last day of the Masters, usually the weather always breaks, and it's golf time then.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, I love the Masters, man. It's my favorite tournament.
Well, we'll no doubt get it locked and loaded. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Do yourself a favor. Find out about membership options for this spring and beyond, membership benefits, membership pricing, and, of course, great instruction with Mike Shewhart, Chris Thompson. Log on now, wildernessridgegolf.com. Well, the Alabama football Bible is just to my right. A man who worked on, that's scripture in there, is Justin Pierce, a longtime college football assistant, and you guys been on the recruiting trail. Justin Pierce is 5 minutes away. Hour two of Hail Varsity continues.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We
get
better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We
get
beat, beat.
Beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore back tomorrow. I'm going to tell him it's raining tomorrow, so he'll be back in studio. Busy one. Thanks to Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Lots of talk about Tim Miles and his future in Hour 1. A conversation with Pat Casey can find on HaleVarsity.com. Head coach at Oregon State Baseball. Shewie's still hanging out reading a Hail Varsity magazine. And he's all good with that. Welcome in a member of Nick Saban's staff at Alabama, recruiting staff, and also part of college football. A couple years back at Georgia State. Welcome in Justin Pierce back to the show. Justin spent a few times on Hail Varsity with us last spring. But Justin, awesome to see you, man, and it's wonderful to have you in studio. How are you, man?
I'm great. It's just great to see you again. I haven't seen you in a little while, so I mean, it just to see you again, that makes my day better.
You are lying. You're lying heavily. Now, in front of your left elbow, and we've been kind of talking this up, is the the Alabama football recruiting Bible. Recently, Coach Riley spoke with the Portland Tribune, kind of let known that, you know what, another part in Nebraska football will be something they'll focus on, and that's recruiting staff. And they already have some folks down there that just do a tremendous job when it comes to helping with talent evaluation and also getting the word out about Nebraska. So there's some pieces in place, but there's always room for more and room to be better. Justin Pierce is in studio for the next half hour plus here on Hail Varsity to talk about recruiting staffs, to talk about his time under Nick Saban. And Justin, give folks a bit of a background. I know I just said Nick Saban, time at Alabama, but folks are listening right now and going, okay, tell me more about Justin Pierce.
Well, about me. No. And to get into kind of what you were just touching on with Coach Riley and what he's done and what he's built at the University of Nebraska, I think he's doing a tremendous job. They've done a tremendous job in what they've kind of put together. Billy Devaney, I don't, you know what's funny? When you're behind the scenes, like we are in recruiting, people don't know much about you, and that's a great thing.
Okay.
If you're doing your job right, that's a great thing. I think one of the biggest losses that we had, and I say we.
You're a Nebraska guy. Yeah.
I'm from Lincoln. My dad coached at the University of Nebraska for, 17, 18 years, whatever it was. But Ryan Gunderson.
Gundy.
I love Gundy. Gundy was fantastic. Did a tremendous job. Social media, knew how to relate to recruits, just was on point with everything. And you know, wish him nothing but the best at San Jose State. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to do a tremendous job. And the thing about it is when you hire people to recruit, it's such a balancing act, because if you hire some people, they might want to be on the field to coach. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not a coach. I know my role. I want to recruit football players. I want to evaluate football players. I'll spend all my time watching film that I possibly can. Gundy wanted to coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just,
it was the next step for him.
That's just the way it goes. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's, you're going to find that the University of Alabama went through three directors of player personnel in a row each year.
There's been lots of turnover down there because Nick's hired really good people.
He hires coaches, and they want to be on the field. And that's the way Gundy was. I mean, he wanted to be on the field. So I think that's a tremendous loss for Nebraska, though. And the fans probably don't recognize that right now. But you kind of have to accept it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, my dad coached at the University of Nebraska. He was the recruiting coordinator 17, 18 years, 78 to 93, 94, whatever it was. Defensive backs coach, recruited Broderick Thomas, Neil Smith, Leroy Etienne.
Best mustache in sports.
My dad's?
Yeah.
Well, you could tell him that. Mickey Joseph, Tyrone Hughes. I mean,
Papa's name is
Jack Pierce. Yeah, right. And if you haven't heard a story from him yet, then you're not living in the state of Nebraska.
No, I put Papa's been in where you're sitting, and I tranked him so he couldn't leave, and I made him tell stories for an hour.
Those stories have changed a time or two.
They're still gold, and he's one of the best there is. Justin Pierce with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Spent time Georgia State, and of course as part of Nick Saban's recruiting staff. So, Justin, that's your background. You're a Nebraska guy. You know recruiting. You've worked in recruiting. Yeah, the Alabama recruiting Bible, which we're going to get in depth with. And you know how crazy, in a good way, Nebraska fans are about recruiting. So, and it's been more high profile. It's been followed. It's a business. I mean, there's all these elements with recruiting, but you had such an excitement level for it, especially with Coach Riley, his staff. I mean, they're relentless with it, and he's put together a staff that of guys that are relentless with it as well. So tell me a little bit about, like, day one, boom, you get to Bama. You want to get into the coaching and recruiting side of college football. Kevin Steele's down there. You know, of course, Nebraska fans remember and know Coach Steele really well as being just a big-time recruiter, along with your dad. And
don't forget Burton Burns, who played at the University of Nebraska.
And he's the running backs coach down there now.
Correct. Yeah.
Burton
yeah.
Burns is the recruiting coordinator.
No, he's the running backs coach, but he played at the University of Nebraska. So there's a lot of Nebraska ties.
Some Nebraska ties down with Saban.
Yes, sir.
So with the philosophy here, let's kind of break that down and see what you walked into at Bama, and then from kind of your background in recruiting, what you see here at Nebraska philosophically, if there's any meshes going on.
To be dead honest with you, I'll take you through. The first day I walked in was one of those things where you feel like you're walking into a cathedral.
Sure.
And that's the Alabama
Bear
football.
Bryant Stadium, right?
No, the Alabama football complex, because the complex is different than the stadium. Mm-hmm. But the way they go about handling recruiting, and it's organizational first.
Okay.
I read the article that Coach Riley kind of spoke about a little bit about, you know, wanting to implement a recruiting office and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it needs to be something that is organized and things like that, and that's what they do at the University of Alabama. Coach Saban is very, very strict on details, and it's very detail oriented, and that's what you need. I think there, I've sat down and met with Coach Riley. I've sat down and met with plenty of the coaches up at the university. Mm. I think they have the people in place, and I think Coach Riley can implement what he wants, his own vision.
Sure.
And that's the most important thing. He doesn't need to follow what I saw Coach Saban do at the University of Alabama. Mm-hmm. He needs to implement what he thinks is going to be best for the University of Nebraska. Because at the end of the day, it's his program.
Sure. It's his program, and there are differences with population base and 500-mile radius, Alabama, Nebraska. It's just different.
Everything's different. And I texted with you a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. If he implements it the way that he sees best fit, in my opinion, it could set Nebraska apart in the West. Mm-hmm. And that's Nebraska's next step, mm-hmm. In my opinion. And my opinion's not worth much.
No, it's worth plenty. You just win the West and you're...
If you could play,
you have that chance to take down the East.
And you have this very, very smart guy on your radio show plenty of times, and I've talked about him, Brandon Vogel. I talked to him last night. And if you're playing for a conference championship, you know, two out of every 3 years or two out of 4 years, something like that.
You're in it.
The fan base is going to be in it, and you could win it. Yeah. That one time, that's all it takes, is just getting over that hump. And that's what Nebraska needs to do right now. I just think we need to embrace taking over the West first.
There's progressions.
And then take that next step. So if he puts the recruiting office in the right order, Coach Riley, that is, mm-hmm. It could really propel Nebraska and set Nebraska apart in the West, in my opinion. But to how it meshes, we talked a little bit about it, and I'm sure you're going to want to get a little bit more deeper into it.
Mm-hmm, we will.
And there's a lot of words that can go into it, to be dead honest with you.
Yeah, okay. Justin Pierce is with us, Hale Varsity Radio. We're talking recruiting staff. Justin, longtime staff member at Alabama. We're talking about Nebraska and that next step when it comes to support staff, recruiting office, and where they head. So you walk into Alabama. It's a cathedral. And you go to work for Alabama as part of his recruiting staff. Tell me about that. What was that like?
So basically how it works is – So I kind of painted myself into a corner.
Hi, Nick. I'm Justin. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. No, I just kept walking, actually. he may be short, but he's mighty. No, he's you just know he's in control of everything. But So I kind of painted myself into a corner a little bit saying it's a cathedral because you walk into this recruiting room and you think it's going to be this nice recruiting room, and it's really not that nice. You have like 9 computers with capture – they're called capture stations, and that's really a – broad statement, mm-hmm. and I apologize to your listeners.
No, that's okay.
You're capturing film onto a little chip, like a little disc, and basically you're cutting it down because you want your coaches to spend as much time focusing on the players that are on the roster as opposed to players that you're recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, so if we capture it and we cut it down, it may save, for one recruit, it may save them a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
And that adds up when you're...
If they watch 12 to 14, that's almost 20 minutes that we save them that they could do something. And it sounds really, really stupid and minute to most people I tell it to.
Mm-hmm.
But you do that 5 days a week and you keep adding it up.
It's time.
That's a lot of time. And you know, Coach Saban, his folder was... ready to go with his – I had to handle his folder and take it into his office. You want to talk about nerves? Walking a binder into Coach Saban's office with his film chip on it, his laptop, is one of the most stressful things. You didn't touch the oatmeal cream pies.
Or the red man.
Or the red man. No, he stayed away from the red man. Said would go buy you a pouch of red man if you asked him to, but...
Sure, but don't take any of Saban's.
Don't take any of coaches.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, it was stressful just walking it in there, or...
Was it because you're just like, what kind of mood am I catching him in?
Yeah, I heard some things.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
I heard...
He's just always full bore. I mean, he doesn't have an off switch.
It was actually really kind of awesome because I'll be completely blunt and honest with you, because he had two beautiful secretaries, the nicest ladies in the world.
Sure.
Two of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. And they would always like, so you'd get like these nice hellos. How's your day going, Justin? You look great today, you know, this, that, and the other. And then you'd walk into Coach Saban's office and he would look up at you and your eyes would just get as big as you could possibly get. And you were just scared.
Sure.
And
I mean, like the mother of all principals' offices. And you got to go there every day.
I was waiting for the ruler to come out.
Sure, right.
But no, so he, you know, and then he would snap up his head and look at you and say, I want it in my car today. Or there was days where he was in such a bad mood and he didn't want to hear anything, and he'd say, take it to my house. So I'd have to drive it all the way out to Coach's house and see Miss Terry.
Okay.
That's his wife. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So then you're delivering to him the 12 to 15 prospects he's going to study that night, every night.
Coach Saban was strict on detail, like I said earlier. He would watch 10 to 12 recruits a night,
mm-hmm.
bar none, no matter how bad his day was, no matter how bad practice went, no matter, you know, if he was sick. I don't think the guy ever got sick. But he would watch 10 to 12 recruits a night, and that's the most important detail, and that's what I want. I hope, you know, Nebraska does the right way is the coaches and the coaching staff need to embrace the recruiting office. If they put the right people in place, and each coach should be assigned one person. That's the facts.
We'll get into kind of the breakdown. Justin Pierce, part of the Alabama recruiting machine, with us here in studio on Hail Varsity Radio. Thoughts on the direction Nebraska going with a recruiting office, and some more time down in Tuscaloosa. We'll get into the breakdown next. Regions, assistant coaches, in this Alabama football Bible that's in front of me right now. This was done in 12 and 13. There's kids that are now on Nebraska's roster that were on Bama's radar back when they were freshmen in high school. We'll continue on. More recruiting thoughts. Hail Varsity continues.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
More with Justin Pierce shortly as we're talking the Bama recruiting machine and recruiting staffs. A former member of Nick Saban's recruiting staff with us here in studio, Justin Pierce. You know, go see your friend Rick at Sauter Heyman. I ask you this once a day, but trust me on it. She'll love it, and you'll be smiling. 1 carat diamonds, $100 a month. That's a winner for both. And Sauter Heyman has the ability to make that dream come true when it comes to affordability. And that 1 carat diamond option, $100 a month. See stores for details, and you can find Rick and his friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion Lincoln, or if you're traveling west, Grand Island, a location for you, SauterHeyman.com. This 1 carat diamond, $100 a month combo special is limited, and it's also with approved credit. So keep that in mind, but go find yourself. Go find her, that 1 carat diamond. She's been wanting a lot of carats in these Alabama championship rings, and it's fueled on recruiting. Justin Pierce is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Justin, your time at Alabama and your attention to detail, let's first and foremost kind of outline the recruiting staff, the size, and then the duties of yourself and other guys you worked with. Okay, how was the work delegated? What were the responsibilities?
I'll kind of take you back, to be dead honest with you. And you kind of asked me earlier, you know, I walked in day one to the University of Alabama and into the football offices, and I wasn't sure, you know, what I was going to do, where I was going to go.
You just wanted to work.
I wanted to work, and I wanted to get back into athletics. Luckily, I had the luxury of doing that, and I knew some people, like you mentioned, Coach Steele, Kevin Steele, who was at the University of Nebraska, Burton Burns, who played at the University of Nebraska. They were both on staff down there. Got a job down there. So literally made the move in 2 weeks, which was fantastic. So moved down there, and I walk in, and it's not a very big office, and I meet a guy by the name of JT. Well, Tyler Siski was our director of player personnel. We kind of listened to that earlier, that little drop on Ole Miss getting in trouble.
And he's Ole Miss now?
He was at Ole Miss before he was at Alabama.
If you're just catching up, Ole Miss self-imposed one-year bowl ban this year with NCAA infractions.
So I know Coach Siski really well. And great guy. Mm-hmm. He's at the University of South Alabama now. Okay. He's coaching wide receivers, doing recruiting down there. So we kind of battled it out a little bit when I was at Georgia State, too. But he was the director of player personnel at University of Alabama. Walk in, see him. He was a Southern boy, really good guy. And then I meet JT Summerford. And JT and I will be friends for the rest of my life. I talk to JT still to this day. He had just graduated from the University of Alabama. He's a Tuscaloosa, Northport kid. And so him and I oversaw the recruiting office. We had about 17 guys underneath us that we oversaw for recruiting. Now, each coach was assigned their own guy. You know, so like Burton Burns had Clay Karcher. Clay's dad is a head coach at one of the junior colleges in Mississippi. Okay. He was one of the best quarterbacks to come out of the state of Pennsylvania at the time, but it just so happened this guy by the name of Dan Marino was coming out at that same time.
Out of Pittsburgh.
Yep. So he kind of fell into that trap. But
hey, I'm not Danny, but I'm pretty good.
Yeah. So that was the only Dan Marino loss that he had in high school, by the way, was to Clay Karcher's dad.
Well, I watched that way to Marino and still weep as a Dolphins guy. I picked my spots, TJ, when I'm a Dolphins fan. It was when Danny was throwing to Mark Clayton and Duper. So each coach gets a recruiting staff member assigned to them.
Yeah, and they're all typically just regular students, and that's what hopefully Nebraska kind of tries to implement, because I think there's plenty of people
want to be part of the program, right?
Plenty of students, let me say that. Mm-hmm. And when I say students, I don't just mean male students.
Sure.
And it goes to female students, too. We had each coach had a male student and a female student. A female student would handle all the mailings, postcards, all that stuff, you know, which is just as important, if not more important.
It's communication.
It's communication. And if you get that handwritten stuff, it means a lot. It may seem mundane and it may seem stupid, but I think you have plenty of listeners out there that if they get a handwritten note or a thank you or something like that, it means something. It's just...
When we do giveaways here, we do handwritten notes.
And it's just important. We do. It's a nice touch.
It's not from Nick Saban, but yeah.
Well, you know.
I get your point. The attention to detail.
Attention to detail. That's the important stuff. So it's a male student and a female student. So we would have, you know, 13 to 15 female students in the recruit in another office. Mm-hmm. But they would be doing just as much work. And then we'd be have the guys, you know, whether it was a grad student or just an undergrad student, cutting film, doing stat tracker. Stat tracker is important. You need to have stat tracker done every Friday night by midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. So that means we're in the office until that time. Mm-hmm. You're not going to, you know, the old PO pairs.
No.
Back in the day, if you're a college student, you're...
No, you're there till 1.
You're there till 1 on a Friday night, and you're there at 6. And you better have all your stats up to date, and you better find your stats. And if you can't find your stats on Twitter, Max Preps, the local newspaper, whatever it may be, you have to find them. And you sit there and stare at a computer screen and make sure everything's in, because those coaches want to know any detail possible, because if they sound stupid, the university looks stupid.
And you got to feed them that info. Talk to me about talent evaluation. You have just there's a circle of talent evaluation that Coach Saban put together in your Alabama football recruiting Bible. The what, the how, the why, and those are kind of three bullets.
The why is the one that, what is it, that everybody can see? God, you're going to make me go back.
No. The what is Schmidt sees a kid on 3rd and 2 running for a touchdown and goes, wow. The everybody can see it. The how, you know, how not what a player does, but how is he doing what he does? And then the why, it's the motivation behind a guy's performance.
Yeah.
I wish I could tweet a picture out of this. Maybe I will.
Maybe you should.
I will. But the what, the how, the why, when it comes to that golden circle of talent evaluation.
You can tell. To be dead honest with you, you can tell when you're watching film if a kid wants to be playing football. Mm-hmm. It's pretty apparent. I mean, they're obviously going to stay. If we're looking at them, when I was at the University of Alabama, if we're looking at them, they're obviously going to stand out from a talent standpoint.
Sure.
But you can tell if they don't want to. And the thing about it is what's funny to me is how many times when I was at the University of Alabama that I heard they had an offer from the University of Alabama. Well, I knew every offer we put out because I handled every offer. I didn't extend the offer, obviously, but I knew every offer we put out. I knew which ones were committable.
Right.
Because there's a difference.
There's a difference between offer and committable offer.
Exactly. And so if they put an offer out, it's an offer. You may get it. You may get that offer, but it doesn't mean anything. We're just trying to keep you on the radar. Mm-hmm. But you could tell when you watch a kid if he wants to play the game of football. He wants to play the game of football. A good film to watch, and I told you this when I texted with you yesterday, is Jerry Tillery. He was 2 or 3 years ago. High school football footage out of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Everybody would probably look at him and just kind of go, I'm like, what is he? What is he doing? He's a defensive lineman. His ankle flexion, his hands, everything like that, you can just see it. And he wanted to play the game of football. He was a beast.
Can you tell me about the science of what you see on film and then you pass it up the food chain to those guys who do make the offer, be it position coach or region? I mean, go into that for a second, too. Let's back up a sec. Position coach and region, how it was broken down, and then the ultimate green light was by Saban based on the scouring and hours of film this recruiting staff would spend time on.
Yeah, no, for Coach Saban to actually watch a recruit. Now, I'm going to go backwards to forwards here, mm-hmm. and I apologize.
No, you're good.
We would have a couple guys come in last second that we needed. Like, I can remember a couple wide receivers that wanted to visit the next day unofficially and blah, blah, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so Coach Saban had anybody that was coming to visit that we thought we needed to watch, Coach Saban had to watch them immediately. So maybe we didn't get every position coach and or recruiting coordinator to watch him. But typically, if Coach Saban watched a kid, he had to see two evaluations, one by the position coach and one by the recruiting coordinator.
Okay.
The recruiting coach, not the coordinator, the recruiting coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would watch the film on the kid so he could see their evals on him. And you probably saw the breakdown in the book. Like a 1.9, 2.7.
That range.
Yeah, how it kind of goes. And so he could see that number. He could see the little write-up on him, and he would watch him. But if, you know, we had somebody coming in, he would watch him immediately. And then basically what we're looking at is what tools do they possess? We obviously started at the feet first and worked our way up. Okay. Wanted to see ankles, hips, and everything like that.
30 seconds here, and we got a jock doc coming up, and hang out for a little while if you can. 30 seconds, the difference between and the philosophy behind guys with just sick God-given ability versus the high-effort, high-motor guy, the guy that's going to will his way versus a guy that's Marcus Dupree. I mean, God-given sick ability. Saban's, he's going to change the behavior, won't he?
Yeah, no, he will, without a doubt. And see, we always made the joke at the University of Alabama, and I told you this when I was on in the spring, I think, is that a black jersey at the University of Alabama means, it's supposed to mean you're hurt,
mm-hmm.
but you can still go. And Derrick Henry was a prime example of that.
More with Justin Pierce on Alabama. Hail Varsity continues.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert. Dr. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm great, Chris. How you doing? You feeling better?
I'm doing much, much better. Thanks so much for asking. I'm back at it. Now, I've not found my way to the golf course yet this week. Have you?
I have not. I
you're going to say no comment on that one, aren't you?
Right. Yeah, I wish I could be out there. It's amazing.
Well, that makes two of us. And, well, you know, it is that time of year. Masters is around the corner. And there's been excitement because Tiger's going to be back. Tiger's, well, no pun intended, but let's talk about his back and what's been going on and what's the latest. And we'll spend a few minutes today, our Jock Doc with Lincoln Orthopedic Center and Dr. Brandon Seifert on Tiger Woods. Dr. Brandon, what's the latest that's out there on Tiger, and let's just dive in. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, they've obviously been a little bit vague about, you know, everything that's exactly going on. I don't think people know, you know, 100% of what's going on, but some of the stories that are coming out talking about having more spasms, obviously pain has been a big issue for him. In fact, I think there was even a story out there about him using crutches to get around here over the last week or two. At some point, at any rate, definitely bad enough that, in his opinion, he's not been able to play. In fact, I think he even canceled for the press conference. That or not, he's in so much discomfort. So, you know, what is it that's going on with him? I, you know, it's kind of a tough call to say. You know, we can talk and speculate about, you know, what may be going on, and I think that's probably a reasonable thing to talk about. But I think, you know, you're starting to see with Tiger some of those kind of complications that can happen with, you know, as you get in that kind of multiple spine surgery situation.
Well, let's spend a few minutes on those complications. And what are some things that he can control post-repair? And what are some things that, just based on his personality, are tough for him to control, as in kind of pitch count type items?
Yeah, you know, great question. You know, the big thing obviously with him is, you know, we're not talking about, you know, just somebody normal off the street here. You're talking about somebody who's putting his body through, you know, extreme stress, extreme training, everything that even a normal body would maybe have, you know, a difficult time with. Now you have somebody who's had, you know, multiple spine surgeries, who's trying to do that, and somebody who really does rely a significant amount on his kind of core strength, core functioning, rotational and vector forces going through his, you know, his back where he had his work done. And you're taking somebody like that who's had these multiple surgeries and continuing to do it, it's tough. It's very tough, you know, and you wonder at what point, you know, he's kind of reached a breaking point where there maybe is no going back. And so you take a guy like him and just thinking about the physical stresses of what he needs to do to be a great golfer just in general, and that's very challenging. Then you take somebody like him, as motivated as he is, the competitor that he is, and you throw that on top of it, and that's a really difficult situation, you know, for him to be in and having the ability to try to recover.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Tiger Woods and spasms and walking and some issues with that, and of course having to bow out of his last tournament and press conference being canceled this week. So let's talk about recovery here with Tiger. What are some steps for him to get back on the mend, or is it too soon to even discuss that because of the issues that are ongoing?
Yeah, that's a tough call. You know, I think as you look at this in terms of, you know, formulating like a recovery plan for him, as you look at this, you wonder, okay, let's think structurally here. What do you think's going on in his back that, you know, would be leading to some of these things, the spasms, the pain, that kind of stuff? And so as I think about that with him, yeah, I'm not certain exactly what all the surgeries were that he had before, but I assume there was some, you know, disc work that had been done for herniated disc. I assume there was also probably, you know, maybe a fusion, but again, I'm not certain if he had a fusion or not. Anyway, when you look at all of those things, you know, what's the thing we worry about when you start to have, you know, issues at one level in the spine? When you do something at that level, whether it's, you know, clean up a disc or, you know, make that level more immobile, that basically takes all that force and shifts it to the levels either above or below. And so now you talk about a situation where it just kind of, you know, continually progresses. And if you have more surgery, maybe address the next level again, that kind of same process just continues to multiply and go to different levels. And I think that's probably the situation that he's in. And so you look at that, and unfortunately that does not bode well for a very good prognosis for him continuing at the level he's at. And in fact, you know, if I'm sitting there as Tiger, I'm thinking about how am I going to feel down the road just as a normal person, walking and, you know, doing normal activities, sleeping, riding in a car, all those kind of things become, you know, important factors when you're dealing with some of the things that he's dealing with, at least based on what we've heard.
We've all swung a golf club before, Dr. Brandon, most of us anyway, and if you're not in shape, or even if you are in okay shape and you hit it funny or you take a wrong swing, it can mess with you. I mean, you can do something to your back, and it's a weird motion, right? I mean, it takes a long time to get down effectively and be good at the sport or competent at the sport. But when you're talking about long-term playing with children, walking, riding in cars, I mean, that really paints a picture of just how devastating his back and disc issues have been. I mean, the way you're putting it into words kind of makes the light go on for me about just normal life events, sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's how has it gotten to this point? Is my question.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would assume it's somewhere along the way they've sat down and had that conversation. Obviously, at each level of, you know, competition, high school, college, professional, yeah, it becomes a more difficult conversation. You know, initially, you know, with somebody like that, there's, you know, the huge financial side to it. Then you take somebody like Tiger, who's on kind of the other financial side, where I mean, there's really no reason he needs to continue to go and compete with the financial side now. It's probably more a matter of just competing. Obviously, that idea of chasing, you know, Jack's, you know, Masters or Jack's major tournament record around is probably still there for him. And so, again, I would assume somebody's had that conversation with him. I would hope that they would have about, hey, look, this is kind of what you're looking at, especially if you continue to push the envelope.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Tiger Woods and kind of what's next for him between the spasms. And last thought here, Dr. Brandon, give me a percentage of surprise for you if he plays again this year.
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, again, it is based on kind of structurally what's going on with him, but I think there's probably, just knowing how competitive he is, I bet he gets on a golf course, probably 90%, he probably gets back on a golf course.
Okay.
But, boy, how about a percentage of can he even finish that tournament and make the cut? I mean, maybe 20-30% maybe.
Okay, so you're saying he gets on the course again, he just doesn't, you don't know if he'll finish ever. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say that. The guy's an amazing golfer, but I think he's in a bad spot right now, both athletically, but also just looking at life in general in the future.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Jock Doc Wednesday. Tiger Woods, our topic, and his back issues. Dr. Brandon, we'll do this again. Thanks for a few minutes.
You bet, Chris. Take care.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Blackshirt Jay will be back tomorrow in studio all hour. Former member Nick Saban's staff, recruiting office. Justin Pierce, thanks to Mike Schuhart, was with us. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, talk plenty of Husker basketball to get hour one rocking. About 3 minutes left with Justin Pierce in studio. Justin, you spent a couple years down in Alabama. You were part of the recruiting staff. You worked with coaches and players and obviously part of that Bama machine with so many talented guys coming in. We spent about 5:40 or so, we wrapped up with talent evaluation, how Nick Saban likes to go through it. How about identifying that talent? You do it through film, you do it through highlights, you do it through research, but talk to me about the rest of the SEC and some other premier programs in college football. Back in the day, Colorado would not recruit anybody unless Nebraska was in on them. Bama seems to be kind of the hunted versus the hunter, but there are some programs that Bama pays attention to, correct?
That's exactly right. We when I was at the University of Alabama, we paid attention. We called it our recruiting conference.
Okay.
And a recruiting conference basically essentially broke down to this. It was all the SEC schools, and then you had your powerhouse recruiting programs. Now, that doesn't mean that they're good football programs, but good recruiting programs. I mean, the University of Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is one that comes to mind. That
Texas, SC, UCLA.
UCLA, yep. Oregon.
Oregon for sure.
Yep. We kind of come
Ohio State, you have Penn State.
Florida State.
Clemson.
So they were all part of the recruiting conference, and anybody that kind of they would offer or they had an eye on, you have plenty of opportunities to learn who they're looking at, and there's ways to do that, and there's ways to figure that out. I mean, that's social media is a good option. There's plenty of opportunities to just kind of learn what programs are looking at who.
What I found fascinating in this book and this the recruiting Bible that we've been talking about here from Alabama is 2012-2013. So. In it, there's Mika Fitzpatrick, who is incredibly talented. He's the number one projected cornerback for the 2018/19 NFL draft, depending on if he comes out early. He's already, with NFL draft scouts, the number one corner they want. You saw how vital he was this year. Well, at this time of the year 2012, 2013, when you were down there, he was one A on the board, but he had committed to the class.
Yeah, Minka was awesome. And
he's a Jersey kid.
New Jersey, yeah.
He's a New Jersey kid, but for the most part, how did they decide when to crack that five-hour radius? Because that's kind of how Bama went, right? A five-hour radius around Tuscaloosa?
I've never seen Coach Saban as mad as if we missed on a kid in the state of Alabama. But the thing about it is that we would expand it. Like, for a kid like Minka, we're going to do that just because he's that talented. But you never miss on an in-state kid. And that's the most important thing. And we don't have that in the state of Nebraska as much, but you still want to hit on all those kids.
Justin Pierce. Justin, it was awesome. We'll do this again, man.
Thanks so much.
Look behind the Bama recruiting machine and talking recruiting staffs. Back with you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity. Thanks so much for tuning in.